This month is Women's History Month. You know, you've heard us mention a few times about a book written about three 19th century women doctors. It turns out that one of those women doctors, Sarah Logan Fraser, has a scholarship named after her. And even more fun for us, we have the winner of this year's Sarah Logan Fraser Scholarship in the studio with us this morning. Let me introduce Diane St. Fleur to you. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So let's talk for a moment. We'll talk about why you got the scholarship in a moment, but I want to talk about you because you are a fascinating young woman.
Thank you.
You went to Cornell.
Yes, I did.
And where are you from originally?
From Brentwood, New York, in Long Island.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you majored in Cornell.
Africana Studies.
Africana Studies, which doesn't, to me, have anything to do with medical school. How is it you got interested in going to medical school?
Well, the story kind of goes like this. Part of my Africana Studies major had a lot to do with the health disparities within the U.S. So I studied, you know, not just the racial gaps, the gender disparities, sexual orientation, certain health disparities that make having access to quality health care different for different groups of populations.
And so in that time, you decided you were going to make up the difference.
Well, I was going to try.
I'm so impressed by that. Then you started at SUNY Upstate?
Yes. I actually did a post-bac program in between that time.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
And I know, too, you spent some time in Guatemala. Tell us about your experience in Guatemala.
Oh, beautiful experience. I think about it quite often when it snows, but
I'm sure you do.
It was a medical Spanish program. And I spent 4 weeks there doing intensive Spanish studies as well as working with doctors in certain communities where people have limited access to health care or no access at all.
And tell me about your experience there. What would be your big takeaway?
Well, I think it's important to understand and respect people's cultures, regardless of what position you're in, if you're a physician, nurse, etc. When you have a patient, you know, respect their culture.
And what was the big difference in the culture? I mean, I think of medical care as being medical care. Somebody gets sick, you try to take care of them. But were there differences in the way that their culture would take care of them?
Well, everyone wants to be taken care of, love.
That's true.
So that's a common denominator. But there are certain cultural differences. For instance, in Guatemala and in many countries around the world, traditional medicine is more accessible. And, you know, that's something that you have to keep in the back of your mind when you're talking to patients and you're, you know, giving a physical exam. It's important to ask them, you know, how have they treated themselves? What other doctors have they gone to? Can make a really big impact.
And when you say traditional medicine, you're not referring to what we might hear call traditional medicine in the United States. You're talking about their cultural medicine.
Well, I'm not exactly sure if it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what I mean by traditional medicine is herbal remedies, certain practices that people use. That has dated way back into perhaps antiquity.
So. Maybe. Did you have any of that background yourself?
Yes, actually, my family, we kind of come from a long tradition of traditional medicine. Mm-hmm. My father is Haitian, my mother's African American, and both sides, we used a lot of the plants that grew in the forest and as well as certain practices that were important.
Very interesting. Very yeah. interesting. So now you've won the Sarah Logan Fraser Scholarship. Who is Sarah Logan Fraser?
She's an incredible woman. Uh-huh. And she has a beautiful portrait painted by Susan Keeter in the Health Science Library Center.
And Susan Keeter from SUNY Upstate.
Yes.
Yes. But she was a doctor, what, 150 years ago?
Yes, class of 1876.
Wow.
First African-American woman to graduate from Upstate Medical University.
Mm-hmm.
And what's incredible about her is that she had a passion to help others who did not have access to health care, who were oppressed. And during those times, you can understand. That was during the right after the abolitionist period. Mm-hmm. That she, you know, was in. So she defeated many odds to become a great woman.
So you feel a few parallels there?
I don't think I could fill his shoes, but look up to her, and that's one of my role models in terms of how I want to practice.
And she actually had her own experience, didn't she, with the Spanish-speaking population?
Yes, as a matter of fact, she practiced in the DR.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Dominican Republic.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I understand that when she passed away, the country had lowered their flags half-mast to respect her and honor her.
That's very interesting.
So, yeah.
She, and her experience, was she back and forth between the Dominican Republic and the United States, or did she move there and stay there?
I believe that she actually stayed there. Her husband was from the Dominican Republic, and he was a pharmacist.
He was.
And she stayed there, and she practiced for some time. And I believe when he passed away, she came back. And she raised her child, her daughter.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to do a wonderful job of following in her footsteps,
Thank
I
you.
Have no doubt. And we're
Thank
so pleased
you.
To have you here this morning.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to you. Thanks for sharing your story. I have no doubt Sarah Logan Fraser would be very pleased to know that you're going to expand her legacy with your work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill, with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. What do St. Patrick's Day and the ancient Egyptians have in common? Or how to test your balance if you booze it up a bit? Thousands of years ago, the Egyptians, when they weren't putting up those strange, pointy buildings, figured out how to brew beer. Maybe that's why their handwriting is so weird. Anyway, while we can't decipher hieroglyphics, we sure got the beer recipe. Why? Well, booze is wonderful. A few sips and voila, we're more relaxed and happier, at least for a few lines on the sundial. Now, St. Patrick's Day is my reminder for an annual booze checkup to find out if we've gone over the line from fun to too much of a good thing. Here's a couple questions to find out. For women, do I have 8 or more drinks per week? For a man, 14 or more. Doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? Have I had significant trouble in any of my roles, worker, spouse, parent, etc., because of my drinking, or put myself or others in danger by drinking? And one more, because we're big on fooling ourselves, do other people say my drinking's a problem, even if I'm sure it's not myself? If we got any yeses, be a good idea for us to think this one over and decide if we want to head off trouble. Not because someone else wants us to, because we almost never change then, but because we want to. And then decide what we are willing to do. Talk with a psychologist or other doc, check out AA, or try self-help first, like the AA Big Book or the classic How to Control Your Drinking by William Miller and Ricardo Muñoz. The reference is on our website. By the way, the same questions above work for drugs or anything that mucks up our lives like gambling or overspending. And aren't they a lot easier than what the Egyptians did? Testing somebody's balance on one foot on top of the pyramid? That's it for our annual St. Patrick's Day Too Much Egyptian Elixir Exam Revised Edition. I'm already wearing my green tie and suspenders. Do you like them? This is Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.